بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد قال الله تبارك وتعالى هن لباس لكم وأنتم لباس لهن وقال تعالى ولهن مثل الذي عليهن بالمعروف وقال تعالى وعاشروهن بالمعروف وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لم نرى للمتحابين مثل النكاح وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام خياركم لنسائهم وأنا خياركم لنسائي أو كما قال عليه السلام صدق الله العظيم وبلغنا رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين رسالة درود شريف اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم يا ربي صل وسلم دائما ابدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم اما بعد علماء الكرام حفاظ of the holy quran our respected elders brothers in our islamic calendar we find that there's no specific days that are allocated for example there's no father's day in the islamic calendar There is no Mother's Day. There's no Youth Day. There's no Women's Day. There's no Human Rights Day. There's no Family Day. There is no Valentine's Day. Right. In the Islamic calendar, there is no none of these days in the Islamic calendar. We don't see that there's a Yawmul Walidain. Or Yawmul Azwaj, or Yawmul Shabab. There's no such, or Yawmul Aila. These things are not found in the Islamic calendar. Now, why is it not found in the Islamic calendar? Is it because these things are not important in Islam? That's why we don't have a specific day in the Islamic calendar like we have in our Gregorian calendar, like we have in our national calendar. There is a special Mother's Day, and there's a Father's Day, and there's a Youth Day, and there's a Woman's Day, and there's Human Rights Day, Family Day, and all of these days in the calendar. It's set out from the beginning of the year. These are the days that are set aside. Some of them are public holidays. So is it because these things are not important in Islam, therefore we don't have it in our calendar? Obviously, it is not so. It's quite obvious that it's not because these things are not important in our Islamic calendar that we do not have days allocated. In fact, to the contrary, because these things are so important in Islam, therefore we don't have any specific day for these things. Look at the beauty of our deen. These things are so important in Islam that we cannot specify a day for it. Why? Because in reality, every day is Mother's Day. Every day is Father's Day. Every day is Family Day. Every day is Youth Day. Every day is Human Rights Day. Every day is Workers' Day. Every day is Valentine's Day, if I may say it in that way. Try to understand what my intention is behind saying this. Don't go and misquote me now. This has become a very common thing in our community. Take anything from anyone, use the social media, blast the ulama, attack them, criticize them, denigrate them, run them to the ground, and we think we did a very big amal, we think we did a very good act, as if we gained a lot of sawab and reward. Allah protect us, my dear friends. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills the destruction of someone, then He involves him in these kind of destructive actions. One of our great Buzurgan-e-Deen, Hazrat Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Rahmatullah Alayhi, on one occasion he mentioned, I can take an oath in Allah's name. Those people who criticized and condemned the ulama and denigrated the ulama, open their qabr after they die and you will find their faces will be turned away from Qibla. What is that? It is a sign that a person left without iman from this world. May Allah save us. So don't go and misquote. I am giving an example to show that in our deen, every day is for all of these people around us, because we are on duty as Muslims 365 days of the year. 365 days of the year, we have to fulfill hukuk and rights. And all these people around us have their hukuk and rights, therefore we cannot set aside a day in the calendar. In fact, setting aside one particular day in the calendar gives the impression, it may not be correct, it may not be necessarily so, but it definitely gives the impression that on that particular day we must do what we are supposed to do. After that, for 364 days we are free to carry on with our life. So on Mother's Day, a person will go out of his way to go and show, you know, love and kindness to his mother and all of that. And when the Mother's Day is over, he feels like, my duty to my mother is finished and done. I'll see her now after 365 days. That is the impression that is created. Whereas, in our deen, as I mentioned, our duty and responsibility to all those around us is not only 365, but till the end of our life. It's not 365, it is till the end of our life that we have to continue to fulfill these duties and responsibilities. Come to the subject matter of Valentine's Day. We know that there are many wrongs attached to celebrating this day, and especially if it is relating to the wrong person, then the sin is even greater and the wrong is compounded. I do not want to go into a long discussion about the background and the history of this day and how it came about and all of that and how it has become so commercialized in today's time. Everything has become materialized and commercialized. It's all a material thing, it's all about marketing, making money, people like blind sheep going, doing things, not thinking, not pondering, not reflecting. That is not the shan of a mu'min. A mu'min is not a blind sheep, that anything that is thrown at him, any advert that comes in front of him, any marketing that is thrown at him, whether it is in the print media, social media, electronic media, he gets carried away by every little thing. That's not a shan of a mu'min. Example, how marketing plays on the mind. One billboard has an advert, I'm not going to say for which drink, but they say they obey your thirst. And they got a picture of a bottle of cold drink. Now, can a mu'min in the month of Ramadan, if you see that advert, can you accept what is there? If a person is going to say, okay, obey my thirst, so I'm thirsty, I must obey my thirst, I take that, I start drinking that drink, what will happen to my fast? What will happen to my roza? Will my fast be valid? My fast will be broken. I cannot obey my thirst, I have to obey Allah. Obey my Rabb, obey my Creator, not obey my thirst. We're not here to obey our thirst. We are not here to obey our hunger. We are not here to obey our emotions. We are not here to obey our feelings. We are here to obey our Creator, our Rabb. We are here to obey our Nabi, our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ati'u Allah wa ati'u Rasul. Quran says obey Allah and Allah's Rasul. That is where we're supposed to be showing obedience to. Not to obey our feelings and our emotions and our desires and our wants. That is not the way of a mu'min. So putting aside all that about, you know, the marketing aspect and the historical aspect in how wrong it is from that perspective. But again, coming back to the point I mentioned earlier on, the principle behind it, that if we think that, you know, this one day comes in the year where I have to be romantic with my wife, and I'm saying now, it's not involving any wrong person. If it is, then it's a very, very wrong thing. The wrong is compounded of it. Just on a lighter note, talking about the wrong one, the wrong person. You know, one day a discussion was taking place that in the English language you have two words. One word is the word complete. One word is the word finish. Right. So now what is the difference between these two words? For example, I say I completed my work. I finished my work. It's the same thing in the meaning. I completed my work, yes. I finished my work, yes. But how do we show the difference between the two words? So they say, one person explained it very nicely in example. He said, if you get married to the right person, that person is right, good wife, good partner you found, then your life is complete. When you find the right partner in marriage, your life is complete. And you found the wrong person, then your life is finished. Right. So that's the difference between complete and finished. And one beyond that is, if the right one found you with the wrong one, then you are completely finished. But any case, my dear friends, the point I'm trying to make, the principle we are going back to, that principle is that, again, we are not supposed to be loving and romantic with our wife or our husband on one day in the calendar, and then larai, jagra, fighting, swearing, you know, arguing, bickering for 364 days of the year. That is not Deenul Islam. That's not how we are supposed to be as Muslimin. That for one day you want to be very nice. It's almost hypocritical in a sense. It's very superficial. And love and muhabbat in Islam is not supposed to be a hypocritical thing. It's not supposed to be a superficial act of show. That one day you went and bought chocolates or sweets or flowers or whatever, and then for 364 days you're fighting and arguing non-stop. That is not Deenul Islam. So again we say that there is no basis for celebrating these kind of days in our calendar, because 365, it is supposed to be muhabbat and love and compassion and mercy and a good relationship. And for that, we don't need anybody to come and teach us that how muhabbat is to be displayed, how love is to be shown, how a good marital relationship is to be maintained. We don't need anybody to come and teach us that buy this and buy that. And superficial, artificial muhabbat. We don't need artificial muhabbat, plastic muhabbat. That's not our deen. Our deen is not plastic and artificial. Everything is sincere and deep. Now we come to the beautiful teachings of our deen. Look at what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to us in the Holy Quran. How the husband and wife relationship is supposed to be for 365 days of the year, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes in a very beautiful way. I read three ayats. I'm not sure if time will allow me to explain everything, but I will try to explain briefly whatever I can. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains to us in this first ayat, which I recited. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, hunna libasul lakum wa antum libasul lahun. Allahu Akbar. Subhanallah. What a beautiful description in the Holy Quran of husband-wife relationship. Who else could have described it better than Allah Rabbul Izzat, our creator, our Khaliq and Malik? How beautifully Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described this relationship. Hunna libasul lakum wa antum libasul lahun. You are their garments, they are your garments. You are their clothing, they are your clothing. A person has got a special attachment with his clothing. He will buy the best garment. He'll make sure it is always in a good condition. It gives him comfort. It gives him protection. It gives him happiness. It brings joy to him. He feels empty without it. He feels restless without it. That is the type of relationship there should be between husband and wife. They must be so close and so attached to each other, like how your garment is attached to you. When you want to, you know, belittle someone, or you want to attack someone, they make you take your clothing off too. Then that's the ultimate sign of, you know, harming someone. So we are attached to our garment. There should be that closeness, that attachment. And like that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned elsewhere in the Quran about this relationship. Now we go to the example of the best role model in the universe. The greatest muallim and teacher of humanity and mankind. The leader and the master of whole of humanity. Ahmad-e-Mujtaba, Muhammad-e-Mustafa, Tajdar-e-Madina, Sarkar-e-Du'alam, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we look at his seerah, and we look at his example. What a beautiful example he has left for us. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam demonstrated how this relationship between husband and wife supposed to be. What should be this matrimonial relationship? What is the, how should that love and muhabbat be maintained? And how it should be sustained? This has been taught to us practically in the example of the life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There are countless examples, my dear friends. The first thing that we can say as far as his role model is concerned in this regard is the akhlaq and the character. Allahu Akbar. What beautiful akhlaq. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, khiyarukum li nisa'ihim wa ana khiyarukum li ahli. The best of you are those who are best in their treatment and their relationship and their character and their conduct towards their wives. And I am the best amongst all of you in conduct towards my wives. Not only did he say it, but he demonstrated it. Today there's a lot of workshops on this and that and the other. And they say marriage is like a workshop. Why? Because the husband works and the wife shops. But on a serious note, most of it is talk shops. We have to walk the talk. It's not just about talking and hearing and listening. And we say, yeah, mashallah, we heard this, we heard that. But as far as amal is concerned, as far as practice is concerned, then unfortunately there is very little or almost nothing of it. So this is how we have been shown by Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam that the husband should be displaying the best akhlaq first to his wife. The reality of our world today is we will be good to everybody on the outside. We treat everyone nicely, we're good with our friends and all of that. But of course, and with great regret, it has to be stated that when a person comes home, he's a different person altogether. Now all that akhlaq is gone, finished. Now, how he conducts himself, how he behaves himself at home, how he presents himself, what a bad example he is of what a Muslim husband is supposed to be. The direct opposite of everything what Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught his ummah and ordered his ummah, that is what we see today, in today's time, in today's society. So Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, by his example, showed how this relationship is supposed to be. We don't need anybody to come and tell us, celebrate this one day in the year and buy this and buy that. We can't buy love, we can't buy love. Love is not something to buy and sell. You can buy commodities, you can buy sweets and chocolates, you can't buy muhabbat. Muhammad is not something so cheap that you buy it on a shelf in a supermarket. It is something deep. It comes from heart to heart. You can't put a price tag on that. You can have a price tag on the sweets and chocolates and flowers. There's no price tag on what comes from the heart and goes to a heart. You can have a lot of heart shapes and, you know, make everything in heart shape and give it. It's just a plastic or paper or cardboard. This is the heart. The asal thing is this heart. Not the heart that we make in cardboard and paper and plastic. That's just artificial. The real muhabbat is here, from the heart. So therefore, my dear friends, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam showed us that what is supposed to be true love and muhabbat, not paper and plastic and, you know, cardboard. Now we see, for example, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned tahaddu tahabbu, give gifts and you will love one another, muhabbat will be there, right? So gifts are to be given. But these gifts are not confined to one day in the year. You go and buy this and that and you try to, you know, bribe your way into somebody's heart. No. This must be a regular thing. And it's a two-sided thing. And a hadiyah and a gift is something which is a sunnah, and it is something which generates a lot of muhabbat because it is with sincerity. It can be something small, but it must be a sustained thing throughout the year and throughout a person's life. Look at beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam's example. You know, his example of love and muhabbat was such. His wife Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha was extremely beloved to him. Sayyida Aisha says that I was not jealous of any of the wives of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam who were living, as much as I was jealous of that wife Khadija who passed away, because Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam remembered her and loved her so much. Even after she passed away, he would never forget her. And the love was to such an extent that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to give gifts to the friends of Khadija radiallahu anha on a regular basis. Giving gifts to the wife's friends after she had passed away, to maintain that love and that muhabbat. This is the beauty of our deen. It is about muhabbat. Muhabbat says, alam qaim hai. The world is standing on muhabbat, not nafrat and hatred. Hate and nafrat and attacking people and condemning people, and we say this is Islam. Wala hawla wala quwwata illa billah. What Islam is that? Islam is the Islam that Allah and Allah's Rasul has given us, which is based on the principles of ukhuwat, brotherhood, muhabbat, shafqat, rahmat, kindness, compassion, mercy. This is the deen, the beautiful deen of Islam. My dear friends, there are many things other than that. Look at Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahu Akbar. when he's sitting down to eat with his wife, then it's not that how it is in today's time, husband is sitting in one side of the sofa, the wife is sitting on the other side, they got one screen in front of them, they got their mobile phones in front of them. In fact, now the mother will call the children and the husband with a message, supper is ready, come and sit down. That's how we communicate now. Then they will sit. He's busy in his world, she's busy in her world. And they're not even talking nicely, they're not even conversing nicely, they are not even, you know, having good conversations because they are in their own world. Whereas Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam held conversations. It is mentioned in the hadith, إِذَا كَانَ بِاللَّيْلِ سَارَ مَعَ عَيْشَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهَا يَتَحَدَّثْ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to have conversations with Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha at night. They used to talk, they used to discuss, they used to talk, you know, things of love and muhabbat. One day Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do you love me? He said, of course I love you. How much do you love me? He said, I love you like how the knot is in the rope. That is how I love you. That is a tight knot. That is a tight relationship between us. Every now and again, Sayyida Aisha will ask Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do you love me? He would say, yes. She would say, how much? He would say, like that knot in the rope. She would ask, now how it is? He said, the knot is tighter now, even more tight. In other words, the ta'alluq and relationship is gone, even more tighter. But today, some marriages leave alone. It's not like a rope, it's like a noose around the neck. It's not supposed to be like that. But nevertheless, my dear friends, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sat with his wife. They ate from one plate. And they had from the same. If his wife ate from one piece of flesh, he would eat from that same piece of flesh. If she drank from the cup, he would drink from the same cup, the same place where she had drank. To show that extreme closeness and that bond and that love and that muhabbat. This is what Islam teaches us, not paper and cardboard and plastic and artificial. Don't get carried away by these things. We don't need to celebrate all these kind of things. Celebrate the real teachings of Islam, the real values of Islam. My dear friends, there's so many other aspects that I can mention. The humor of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with his wife. How he used to laugh, how he used to joke with them, how he used to tell them stories to entertain them and so on. And I'll conclude now just to make it light at the end. You know, Maulana was giving Jummah Bayan, and in his Bayan he mentioned that, brothers, you go home, then, you know, your burdens of life, you must carry it cheerfully, man. Don't be all the time, you know, frowning and all of that. You must carry your burdens of life cheerfully. So as soon as Jummah Namaz was over, husband went home and wife was busy in the kitchen. He ran and he picked her up off her feet and he started carrying her and running around the whole house and laughing. He said, what is wrong with you? What happened to you? He said, no, Maulana said, we must carry our burdens of life cheerfully. That's the reason why I picked you up. But that's just on a lighter note. They are not burdens, dear friends. They are our source of comfort. And that muhabbat must stay. Allah Rabbul Izzat increase that love and muhabbat.